The Sentai Review, Episode 76, Crossovers. Welcome back to the Sentai Review. Last time this went over pretty well, so I figured we would go ahead and we've been trying to do, like, you know, robots and then some sort of, like, either the DVD discussion or a random topic, and we got a pretty good one this time. And as always, in the comment sections below, or if you're hearing this podcast-wise, don't be afraid to send an email or go to the group page now. That's right, that exists.
Yeah.
The group page for the super the Sentai Review. Is it just called the Sentai Review?
I actually made it the Sentai Review.
Okay,
even
it's called,
though, even
yes.
though the video was in Stepwell Price, just still say Sentai Review.
That's fine.
It's the Sentai Review.
So it's the Sentai Review. That's a Facebook group page, so you can get on there and give us topics. Either way, make sure the topics come in so we keep doing these kind of episodes. We've got one this time. My question is, what would you like to see in a crossover? The idea here is that we are going to take, for us, and for some people it might be different. They might think, you know, Zoot Angels or something like that. But for us, we're thinking of all the American series that existed, if they could have crossed over with any property, what would it be? Like, is it okay to have Green Lanterns in that show, or is that so OP that the Power Rangers have no reason for being there? Or, like, is it okay to have Superman fly in and punch that kaiju? Because I don't think it is. I don't think he works. But there are crossovers that might actually work and might be interesting, and that's our question today, is who do you want to see cross over with the Rangers or the Sentai or vice versa and yada yada, and Reploid Bill William Bush?
Seth Lovell Sario.
Scott Action Jackson.
Shane McCree, Proto Guy.
Nick the Lone Paladin. Holy shit! 2 episodes in a row! It's like Christmas up in this bitch.
They also know we film in batches. Don't worry about it.
You shut up, damn it!
Now.
You're ruining the movie magic!
Now, the website stuff.
Hey guys, I know you're about to get your podcast on, so I'll be quick. If at any time you feel like dropping your own opinion into what we're talking about, head on over to FandomNight.com and all of the contact information for every single one of our shows, including the one you're about to watch, is there. Alright guys, I'll leave you alone. Okay, so, does anybody have one to start this off?
Oh, I got a very, very simple one.
Okay, go for it.
You take the Pirate Rangers, right?
Okay.
And they're out in space flying around, right? Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Very, very, very simple. You put them up with Gundam.
Space Pirate Rangers meet Gundam.
What Gundam?
OG.
Okay, OG. So they come across like a colony or something?
Yeah, they just happen to fly across the Federation of Zeon. As there's an all-out war breaking
okay,
loose.
Okay, hold on.
And they're like,
hold on,
wait a minute.
Hold on. Before we get massacred, that's a principality.
Yeah. I'm not saying Zeon. I'm saying they just fly across one of their areas.
And I know. That's a principality.
And when you're talking about the OG,
by the internet.
I don't mean to correct you, but when you're
sorry, I did
0079.
Yeah. Yeah, I did say the wrong one. Whatever.
Universal Century 0079 OG. Yeah. He said
so
89.
Basically OG.
Well,
I
could have made it lower and it could have been 0069, but that's a different show.
Anytime you talk about
sex robot,
the original Gundam stuff, that takes place in the Universal Century.
Yeah. Yeah, so you just put them in the fucking 1 year war.
The only thing there is so you got the Gokaiger Pirate Hat Ranger Mech taking out Zaku's.
That won't be difficult.
It'll be neat.
Yeah.
Yes, because we've
fighting golfs.
And if it's running like an anime, there could be a misunderstanding that comes across where the RX-78-2 might see them as an enemy and they might end up fighting.
And then they tell them, no, we got to go after Char.
And anime-wise, you could do all kinds of cool stuff, like where he might, like the ranger thing might turn around and shoot that cannon, and then he'll block it with that shield and throw that mace, Gundam Hammer, and like come across their shoulder, and they're like, what the shit was that?
Yeah. And let's get even more ridiculous. Then they come across the fucking Cubile that's just shooting fucking cones everywhere. Guess what? Cannon time. Doom, 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 doom.
Now, if we're talking, now, every little detail does matter. Are we talking like, you're going to choose the pirate mech comes up against the RX-78-2, so obviously it'll be Amuro. Now, are we talking a freshly, I just sat my ass down in this thing? Are we talking,
How far into the war do you want to take that?
Ooh.
It does matter.
Yeah,
because he's gonna become a lot more formidable.
The longer he stays into that in that Gundam, the Rangers are gonna have a hell of a time because
if it's the RX-78-2 refit, he has the magnetic coating, which allows the mech to move and respond at the level that he's comfortable with.
And get because he's a new type, they've never ran into somebody who can predict shit.
Yeah, he could basically almost see things as they happen.
So
he would actually, but see, that's just it though. That's what makes it interesting. He might not be as strong as they are, because I've seen that Pirate Ranger Zord do some crazy shit.
Yes.
But they might not be able to connect with him.
And you can't beat what you can't hit.
But they do have that power advantage.
They do.
I have seen, Amuro's been beaten when his suit is inferior. He has been beat.
Yes, he's been beat by, we all know he's been beat by Char when Char is definitely in, like, a red Zaku. Now, yes, his Zaku is a way better Zaku.
Well, I'm thinking there was a time when he got stuck in, like, a Garadoga and he got his ass kicked. It was in, like, 0083 or somewhere around there. And
during the Stardust Memory Spar.
And
area.
He was in, like, a Garadoga and he got taken out. Because he was up against something that was Gundam class.
And his was an older model.
And he was basically sitting in the reformed Backbone Zeon-esque mech.
Here's
also the other problem, too. Amuro can basically anticipate your movements because you are a human pilot. Here's something he won't be expecting.
Five?
Not just five. Give them motherfuckers some keys. Start throwing out ninja zords. Throwing out random fucking cars.
Question here is, what can they take? You notice the Rangers can do the finishing moves. The one hits destroy you. Now, here's the question that I put here. In a fight like this, and I'm not saying that this has to be a fight. They might fight for a book before they realize they shouldn't be fighting. If they send out, like if they're like, oh, those Shogun zords and all those little things come out. And start trying to surround him. If he turns around and fires that one mega particle cannon sniper rifle, is whatever he hits, is that dead? Because that takes a Zaku 2 out in one hit. It takes Rick Doms out in one hit. It takes,
Well, let's think about it.
It takes Gelgoogs out in one hit. It can kill a Goof in one hit.
Well, let's think about it. We know what Zaku's and Gims and all them, we know what the material
is. And that sword, he cut through the big Zom with that sword.
Those swords have the ability to technically cut down a colony.
That's what I mean. So, like, he is powerful enough where they start sending out all those
things.
Here's
the question.
He might be able to one-shot a lot of those guys.
We technically don't know what the Megazord is made out of. Is that standard metal?
Exactly.
We all know that the Gundam is made of Gundanium. Lunar titanium is what a lot of the reproduction models will be made out of. But we don't know what the pirate Megazord is made out of. Can it, if he shoots that particle cannon, is it going to bounce off? Is it going to go rip it through like tinfoil? We don't know.
The Megazords are made out of Sentianium.
I might have an idea.
To be fair,
if they came across each other, right? What if they come across each other and they start fighting?
Okay.
And he does the key thing, and some other Zords join the fight, and Amuro's like, I'm surrounded! And he starts going into action, right? White Base comes up overhead. They take shots at White Base. White Base kind of pulls back and starts unleashing mega particle cannons on the moon. He takes out a couple of their guys, and all of a sudden, a Zeon Strike Force sees an opportunity. They don't know who this guy is, but this is the Trojan horse. They're interested in taking that out, and it's occupied. So they attack from a flank. Bam! Now it leads into a giant fight where things are going down, and for whatever reason, the Gokaigers end up friends with Amuro.
Okay.
During the fight, of course, they started with a misunderstanding where they were fighting each other, and then they're seeing what's going down, and they pick up the chatter on the comms, right?
Okay.
And they listen to some of this stuff that's going down, and they're like, these kids are just trying to get home, or something like that, and they're like, well, then we should help them get home. And he's like, but didn't they just attack us? Doesn't matter. We don't make choices like that. We help because it's right to help. Now the Gokaiger jump in.
And they might have keys.
Now the Gokaiger jump in and they help. Now this makes them friends. Now the Gokaiger Zord, let's say it gets damaged pretty heftily in this fight because heat hawks and things like that. Sure, they might take down monsters all the time, but monster is flesh, and Gundams are used to fighting robots.
Yes.
So let's say they get damaged and they get an upgrade because this crossover, it's fun to cross technologies. Maybe some Gundam technologies are implemented in to the Gokaiger Zord, making it a lunar metal upgrade.
Lunar titanium.
Yeah, lunar titanium Megazord with magnetic coating that responds even faster. And let's re-equip it. Let's have Amuro be like, why are you using that? And they're like, what? And he's like, this cannon.
Yes,
that's pretty primitive stuff. And they're like, hey, that cannon's pretty strong. And he's like, we could replace it with a megaparticle blaster. And they're like, what the fuck is that?
Amuro would know that stuff because of...
He designed Alex. Oh, and he designed New Gundam.
But
it's not like he's unpracticed in remodeling original technology. And for that matter, when they captured a Zaku, and he rebuilt the entire blueprints and learned everything there was to learn about Zaku technology.
Mm-hmm. So Amuro would be able to soup up their Megazord easily because of his...
And make freaking...
Yeah.
Kai Gundam.
Whatever you want to name it.
And that would be a pretty sweet crossover. That might work. I think if you did it in an anime-esque style.
Yep.
And of course you have to keep the fundamentals of it. We still have to kind of write things as if it was a kid's show because Power Rangers was a kid's show. But for that matter, that's the reason that they can just all of a sudden be like, no, we should help them because it's right. And then you can get away with writing like that. That might be a cool crossover. He might have nailed that.
They're still going to have a hell of a time with Char.
And that's just robots.
Yeah.
The only thing that sucks about that is that the Gokaiger don't get a chance to shine. It's going to all be robot shit.
Except for like the handful of times when there's been like fisticuffs on like a planet surface.
You don't.
Yeah, but like
is how
when Amuro and Char fight with two Epis in a space office.
Yeah.
That fight, if it was always something like Gokaija Blue, and he just whooped both their asses instantly with his super mega ultra strength.
You can't have a fist fight because that's not fair for the Gundam pilots.
Unless they get flanked at a part and White Base gets invaded by fire forces. And they're like, we're going to have to take them gun to gun. And a couple of the Gokaigers are like, we only need three guys to run the megaship. Let us help. And they could run down the holes and cut through Zeon like butter.
Another interesting one would be
especially
because
while they're using their flintlock lasers.
And the flintlock lasers and shit. Do, taking guys out.
Would it be neat because since he chose Gokaiger, and they can, with the keys, they can bring other Megazords from the past.
Uh-huh.
What's really interesting, like, if he would have chose Mighty Morphin, right?
And the Megazord looks very Gundam.
Yep.
Yes. Now, let's say he would have chosen, like, Mighty Morphin or something like that. And he would have said, I want to stick for our series, I want to stick with the OG, the original Megazord.
Right.
He would have problems because what if, we're talking, this is during the 1 year war, so we don't know what's going to happen. What would be interesting is the black tri-stars, how they have their formation.
Yeah.
And we know that some Megazords, they don't move very well.
And Megazord's one of them.
Yep.
Like the Gokaiger Zord? That thing is broke as shit. It moves like a Gundam.
And because there's three against one, it could be like, fuck on this. Keys.
Give
me another one. Keys. Give me another one. I don't like three on one. I don't like three on one at all.
I was actually about to say with something along those lines, like white base is flying through and all of a sudden a blockade of like 10,000 Zeons Zakus pop up. And they're like, oh shit. We've only got a couple dinky fighters left at Amuro's Gundam, and it's in the shop right now because it had some problems. The Gokaiger guys could be like, oh, shit, we got this. Hold on. Ka-cheek! All of a sudden, like, 50 Megazords and other Zords pop up, and they're like, nah, we got this.
And they don't have to worry.
Yeah, don't you worry. We got this.
Because Amuro will also get on the comms and be like, guys, don't worry. Zaku's pilot like pieces
I got
of shit.
This.
You will go through them like butter.
So, yeah, I'm going to give a thumbs up on this one. Anybody else?
So once again, that's what, is that two or three in a row that I've killed it?
So you got thumbs up on this one. What's our next idea?
You got one yet, Scott?
Kinda.
Go ahead.
I kind of got two, but I'm trying to think them through.
Okay. We can come back to you guys. Yeah.
Bill, go ahead, if you got one. Unless you want me to go, mine follows a very simplistic Seth, but mine's not. They don't cross over with other people. They cross over with.
Fine. Go ahead. Okay. Go ahead.
Well, I'm going to ask you a question, Bill. How powerful is Bandora in the Zoo Rangers?
Oh shit.
Okay, now you're talking the actual Sentai.
I'm talking
because she's pretty. Pretty broken
now,
strong.
Now, did they ever fight Bandora?
They locked her away again. At the end of the series, they actually did have to lock her away.
Now, we know that in our series that Rita got away. They didn't do anything with Rita.
Yeah.
Rita was a joke.
Yeah, yes.
What if something happened? Now, remember, in reality, they're only a year difference.
Yeah.
What if the Zoo Rangers crossed over with our Mighty Morphin?
And we actually had the two teams, American and Japanese,
Bandora
together?
Who's competent,
take out Rita?
Or help Rita.
Rita's been pretty sweet in the comic books, I have to say, though.
But we had to go by show.
I know, yes.
And she's an idiot in the show.
Yeah, she's dumb as shit.
But let's take a Bandora who knows what she's doing and kind of mentor her dumbass self.
In an alternate universe.
In an alternate universe.
Okay.
But now you have Jason and Zach and all them with Boy and Dan and Geki.
And Trini could be like, wait, so your Yellow Ranger's a guy? I mean, I guess that's fine. I mean, I guess it can happen. Just so in an alternate universe, I'm a dude? Like,
wait, would the green still be around, though,
I
for
would,
the Sentai?
Yes.
In the Sentai? Depending on how far you want to go?
Yeah.
No, because the green would be dead,
yeah.
But then we would have a White Ranger, and they would be like, what is that?
We don't have one of those.
Yeah, because they never get
so
that.
So let's pull it before Burei dies.
Which now, is then before Tommy loses. Is Tommy losing powers, and Burei is still on the candle? Actually, no matter what, Burei is on the candle. He woke up dead.
Yes.
Yeah.
He died in his sleep, and he was living on borrowed time granted by a Shinigami, essentially.
Technically, they both have a candle lit.
And then Tommy had his candle lit later on by Rita, and it's not the same thing. He was losing powers. Burei was losing time.
Yep. So
they're very different concepts. Burei, his candle goes out, he's dead.
We all know, because this could be an interesting factor, depending on when we do this, when a dimensional rift opens and the two combined. Because Tommy...
If Tommy is losing powers, Zed is there. So you've got another problem.
Yes.
Yes, it's true that the candle happened, and the candle was taking Tommy's powers, but they fixed it and band-aided it. It wasn't perfect, but it was fixed. It wasn't until Lord Zedd finally started hounding that the end was inevitable. Lord Zedd caused the downfall of the Green Ranger.
How's about we put it like midway through the season after Tommy actually becomes a good guy?
I was thinking about that, but I also thought about how, what if Bandora and Rita met and they're like, well, I've tried this and this to destroy the Rangers. And you're like, you also made an evil Green Ranger? Because I did that myself.
Hey.
Bandora would say, made?
Yeah, because Rita made.
Burai woke up. He was not on her side, necessarily. In fact, he tried to kill her. He tried to double-cross and kill her when he was in the palace, and she shot him right off the palace down to the earth, and he felt like, okay, and look, these things are not 100% realistic. She shot his ass off the moon, and he fell all the way to
earth. I thought Bandora's palace was in the middle of the city, floating in the air.
No, she returned to the moon at one point. And
you also gotta remember it's a moonosphere, so the physics don't mean.
Well,
he went up there and joined her team for a while, and then he got tired of her,
right?
Because every time she gets the smallest victory, she like throws a party. They run around and they're like Dora, Bora, Dora, Bora, Dora, and they dance and they're all excited and shit. And they're like, "We are the best." And then he's like, "I'm getting fucking tired. Like, we're not done. We didn't win. We got a tiny little victory. They're still alive. We need to go back down there." And she's like, "Calm down."
I realize that. He tried
to stab her in the back, and she bolted his ass right off the lookout, and he fell all the way to Earth and somehow lived.
That Bandora is fucking powerful.
Well, but hold up. So here's the actual question I have, because I haven't seen any Azure Ranger. Is Bandora's palace on a moonosphere?
Yes.
Like it is in ours?
Yes,
it
as is? Ridiculous as it is, yes, she's still on the moon.
Okay.
For a while, she was...
I know that we stole almost all
of her footage,
but I figured
that was our shit. She came to Earth at the start of the battle. And then the Rangers attacked her palace directly. And when she realized that she put herself in that kind of situation, she didn't stay there like a dumbass. She was like, if the Rangers are bold enough to simply walk right in here, one of these days, they might get me. So I'm going to go where they can't get me.
She started the series off, and her palace was in the middle of the city.
Yes.
In the air. Yeah. She was in the air. They could easily get to him because they can jump 5,000 feet.
I knew that part. I thought she went to the actual moon, and not a moonosphere.
Yeah, she went to the moon, but the moon is a moonosphere, as ridiculous as that is.
Because people can breathe on it.
I don't know why.
But
okay, so when you said there are a year difference,
in reality,
Zoo Ranger came first. Then.
Yes, 92, and then we got it 93.
Okay. Well, I was gonna say it's like you could just kind of try to figure out where the two would actually meet that way.
But that depends on where the green white ranger would appear.
I don't want the white ranger there because
because with Zoo Ranger being first and then MMPR being second, then technically
if these are alternate timelines, not alternate timelines, but if they're parallel universes like Star Trek,
right?
Because right now in the comic books, the two shows met because their two times did happen to intersect.
Yeah, young Kirk met old Kirk.
Yes. But they were the same age, because the parallel universes, they're running at the exact same time. Might have different histories, but they're running at the same time.
Kirk, who's
well,
that? Yeah, I got
then
you.
Zoo Rangers is only 50 episodes, which means only season one of Power Rangers is in play here. Because after that, the Zoo Rangers probably went on to different things. They might still be Zoo Rangers, but we don't know what they did.
This is where Tommy would be at his maximum, because he didn't start losing his powers till season two, because that's when Zedd showed up. So we'll have a full power.
Now he did get infected by the candle.
Yes.
But it was band-aided by the end of that season because he'd come back to get the power coins when they kidnapped the parents. Mm-hmm. He came back and they gave him his coin back, and Zordon did something don't view that plot hole.
Bill, he can do whatever he wants. He's
exactly, because he is interdimensional. So he fixed
with
it.
Cheese sandwiches.
He fixed it because.
And at that point, you could also just magically have it get band-aided that Burai isn't dead, though the candle's burnt out. Because Band-Aid.
That works in our
it works
continuity.
In our series
it works
because
in our show.
So here's the thing. If they came over here,
okay.
Tommy would be band-aided, Burai would be dead. They okay. did not save Burai. He does die.
So,
he was a lesson, a hard lesson for children. Sometimes, no matter how bad you want it, people die.
Right. So let's do it that way. Let's have a band-aided Green Ranger. Let's have the Zoo Rangers not have their Green Ranger.
Which would also cause some interesting strife for Geki. Because Geki would come across Burai.
Who he thinks is Burai.
Yeah, and then, maybe when they meet in costumes,
let's,
and they look like doppelgangers.
Let's say Rita sends another pointless monster out to fight the Rangers.
And this pointless monster's power is that he tears portals.
Not even the monster realizes how powerful that ability is.
Let's say that for some reason, whatever monster this is, he's fighting at the exact same time as a monster in the parallel universe. They do their move at the exact same time. The two monsters bond, becoming one monster existing in both realms. And something happens where the whole world special effect,
mm-hmm.
and then the Zoo Rangers kind of fall into our world.
I'm going to call this the Atmos effect, because that's what Atmos does.
Okay. So the Atmos effect.
Seems fair enough.
Atmos eats the shit out of people.
Now let's think. Everybody's in costume.
Now since everyone's in costume, the Zoo Rangers might think that the monster made doubles.
And we'll also think.
As an insult.
And we could also think the same. Like, did he just make doubles of us?
As an insult, there's a Green Ranger.
Which would
Geki might go after him first. That might piss him off.
Now leaving Jason being like.
Now Geki. Here's the thing. Geki is way. Stronger than Jason, because Geki is the Red Dragon Ranger. That great Burai never came back. He is the Red Dragon Ranger. He has the dagger and the sword and the shield.
So when
unlike ours, who gave the shit back to Tommy.
So when Geki goes after Tommy and they're having a fight, and we all know the Green Ranger's the most powerful.
He
Ranger.
Might start whooping Geki's ass, and Geki might be like, "Man, fuck you."
And then he bring out the shield.
Yep.
And then now Tommy's getting pushed back. Well, everybody's fighting their same color, but Jason's like, "What? I want to fight myself." So then he would go help. Now you have a green and red fighting a red dragon.
Because the red dragon would be strong enough to be holding off the green.
And
the green's powers might be band-aided, but they're not perfect.
Yep.
Every blow he takes is crucial and does weaken the amount of overall power that he
has
for the rest of his time.
So Jason jumps in and gives him a hand.
Yeah.
Now, after all this fighting, somebody needs to realize, I don't know how, I haven't figured this part out yet, somebody needs to realize that they're not copies. They are different
have
people.
Have one person,
Yellow Ranger.
Green Ranger gets defeated. His power is not perfect. Okay. It is band-aided, and it does have those weird spasms.
Let's
have him get knocked out of the costume and have them see, that's a guy.
And that's not...
That's not our guy.
That's not Burai. That's... I don't... Guys, stop.
Who is this motherfucker?
Right.
And they would power down.
And they'd be like, hold up, you know?
And power
and
down.
Maybe they don't. Maybe they'd stop, and they'd power down to show that they're just guys.
And then, our guys
would power
down. Because
I was about to say,
down.
The only other way that they could do that would be Yellow Ranger versus Yellow Ranger, because again, wait, you have boobs? Wait, you have a penis? Hold up!
Hopefully
they can't be copies.
Right. That's true, too, but let's not go that route that they realize
let's go
that.
Let's go with the sporadic Green Ranger power.
Well, for a kid's show, yes. However, in the comic books, where the comic books aren't exactly aimed at small children.
This is true. They're
we
not.
We could have it either
the yellow
way.
Our Yellow Ranger could go to kick their Yellow Ranger
time.
And, like, the crotch being like, "Yeah, this won't hurt her much, but..." And all of a sudden, dude goes, "Ah!" and falls over.
So now we got Tommy lost his powers. and the other guys realize, so that puts them on a team. And during the confusion, the monster was like, I don't know what just happened, but I'm going to go. And he goes up to Rita, and when he gets there, she's like, you fucking dunderhead, why would you come back up here when you had the Rangers on the ropes? And then Argoldar would do the only animation he has for speaking.
I am so pissed off that you came back, and that makes me mad, and what the fuck, why do I always gotta punch the air when I speak?
And then while that was happening, he'd be like, well, you got to understand, I think I can make Ranger copies. And she's like, no, we can't. And he's like, no, watch this. And if he does it again, and it pulls Bandora and her competent fucking Goldar, I can't remember, his name is like Barraza or something like that.
And then when they come, Rita's looking at an exact copy of herself.
And Goldar's looking at somebody that's an exact copy, though not...
Goldar,
he doesn't get warped.
Goldar would be like, I don't know who you are, but I'm punching air. And he'd be like, why do you keep doing that?
Why do you
I
keep
can
doing
do
that?
All of this.
No, that's a point in time where the competent one just backhands our Goldar.
To be fair,
just
their,
to make sure
their,
he gets warped the show.
Their
he
Goldar
is
mean.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wait, their Goldar is not a joke.
I thought of a weird twist. Bandora doesn't come in first. The movie Rita and Goldar comes in first.
No.
We're too late on that, though, because the movies happen during the White Ranger phases.
Yeah, there's no way.
Goldar looks in the movies.
Yeah,
like,
he does, too.
They both would stop and be
so
like...
So now we've got competent villains, and I just realized what this is sounding like.
Yeah.
No, I've seen this show before.
I think I've seen it, too.
What? Turtles Forever? The 80s Turtles met the 2000 Turtles, and the 2000 Shredder met the 80s Shredder, and the 80s Shredder was an incompetent dumbass, and the 2000 Shredder was like, how do you even exist?
Because you're an 80s television
purpose.
Show,
I see that episode,
and
I
action
that
for kids.
No, it's not a bad thing.
Don't
I'm just
you to die.
I'm just saying that I've
I do remember that
like
episode,
this.
But no, I and the only thing we need to do is. We need to keep squatting Babu out because I don't like Babu. And I don't need a creepy, mean Babu.
Too
from the
creepy.
Well, no. Babus. Ours is creepy and stupid. Theirs is creepy and mean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Our squat is not creepy and stupid. Theirs is not creepy and mean. Noticing a pattern. They're all mean. They're all stupid.
My God, it's the mirror universe.
Yes, it is essentially a
mirror, bitch.
I'm basically doing a mirror type thing.
So now that we've set the stage, here's the thing. The only problem, now here's the deal. If we go to the command center at this point, they're going to meet Zordon.
They don't have a Zordon.
And when they meet Zordon, Zordon, for some reason, you know what? Zordon already knows. Because he's interdimensional.
He does whatever he wants.
So he already knows about the other Rangers, and he's like, you are not supposed to be here. We're going to have to talk with, you know, and they're like, wait, how do you know so-and-so? Because their guy, remember, their sage dude? Mm-hmm. Zordon would just know that dude. Why? Because don't view that plot hole.
Yep.
He just knows.
Don't
Because Zordon just knows dumb shit.
And let's say that other guy just shows up on the viewing globe.
And by the way, just
well,
to make
Zordon would probably like be like, Alpha, we're going to need an interdimensional transport. And the Rangers are like, excuse me? And he just beams that dude right into the command center. And for some reason, because we're Rangers and because we're dumb, we don't ask a question. But in real life, I would immediately be like, hold on. You mean to tell me that all the times that we've been fucked up here, you could have beamed over other Rangers from other fucking dimensions and timelines?
To help us?
And he's like,
I need a Zordon
net. Yes.
Look.
And
Kimberly's like, showering.
And they'd be like, so
she's
why
standing
didn't,
right here.
So why didn't you ever do that? Don't worry about that now.
Stop. Yeah. Don't view that plot hole.
Yeah, exactly.
Rangers, look at the viewing globe. So they all turn around like, I'm out.
Yeah, he just goes away.
No, that explains the time that Zordon was missing in time.
So now
actually,
we have,
yeah.
Now we have their Sage and our Zordon and Alpha and all the Rangers put in one place.
Now, did Zoo Rangers not, I know they had a Sage, but did they also have a, I don't want to say a, I understand they didn't have a robot.
No.
Did they have somebody else? Nope.
No, they just had the Sage dude, and now, the Sage dude had some giant
book. I do want
to
make sure that this is probably.
And they also went to that weird static time room where time didn't exist, and they were like in that weird.
Let's also make this a point to understand that the Zoo Rangers, for no reason whatsoever, know how to speak English because the translation of Japanese and English, they'd be talking like, I don't know what he's saying.
You know what? How about this? Because and Billy's watch.
Dubbed.
Okay, Billy's watch can. Yeah, he's smart. He can do that.
They're dubbed.
Let's say it already does that. Billy's watch already works as a universal translator because, and we were just never told.
Okay.
I would ask, in reality,
how can I speak? How do I understand what they're saying? They're obviously Japanese. Don't worry, the watch.
Oh, baller.
Just go with it.
The watch allows you to teleport and communicate with other people. Maybe it also automatically translates everything you say,
well,
and you don't even notice that you're doing it, but maybe we're speaking
Japanese.
Well, to
be fair, why not?
Well, exactly.
In the movie, when they went to go get their power?
Yeah, they just talked to some person
they
from
talked
other
to some
planets.
Woman. We don't know if she can speak English. She could be speaking gibberish.
Here's the other thing. Let's go with canon's story. Let's fuck the movie.
Okay.
Aquatar.
There you go.
The Aquatar Rangers somehow spoke English, and I refuse to believe that, like in Star Wars, one of the dumbest fucking things in Star Wars is that there's basic.
Yeah.
And most all species speak basic. Fuck that.
No, Aquatars are obviously speaking Aquatarian.
We can't all speak the same language on English. This one planet. You want to tell me a fucking universe does?
And to be fair, Billy does go live on them, so eventually he will have to learn to speak their language, or he would have
so just we're done
or
with that.
Or he's
got
to keep building batteries for the watch.
Watches, got it.
Well, plus on top of that, it's not like it's not a language that's available for him to learn. So that would be like the most logical thing. It's not like they're trying to speak to an alien race. They're like, oh shit, that's one of the 10,000 things that we can actually learn on this fucking planet. Hey, watch, you're basically a supercomputer. Boop, 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 boop. There, Rosetta Stone for you.
That is stupid.
Yeah.
That's right.
Okay, so we got that.
Watch.
Google Translate. Getting watch.
So after Bandora takes over the palace, because she'll do that.
Yes.
Get the fuck out of my chair.
She's going to take over the palace because Rita's too stupid, and Bandora's not stupid.
How about this? That attack
yes,
happens.
Yes,
no,
they do have the staff.
No, that attack happens, right?
Mm-hmm.
Bandora comes over, realizes that this one is incompetent, makes an attempt to destroy her. Goldar sacrifices his life as Rita runs to the lower areas of the palace. Bandora ends up with two wands. And she's like, go get her. Now, while they search the castle, they don't know where they don't know where she is. She makes an emergency call to Lord Zedd in the far reaches of the galaxy. Competent Lord Zedd before America's parents got all bitchy.
And he became stupid Zedd.
This is competent, bleeding, scary Lord Zedd that gets a call from his incompetent underling that says, I don't know what happened. Some crazy lady came through a portal. My own monster turned against me. And he's like, your incompetence has cost us dearly. He's like, I no longer leave you in charge. I will come to settle this. And when he gets there, in the chamber, she walks in to battle Lord Zedd. They fight to a near standoff when they make a discovery about each other. He's impressed that she can hold her own. She's interested to finally find a man that's worth something.
Oh, God.
And he's really something, too. He's all bleedy and shiny and gooey and
I love a man with no skin.
I love a man with no skin. I happen to like women that can hold their own and not be incompetent buffoons. So then they zap that bitch into Tiny Lady, put her in a box, the two of them use their wands and throw her into the fucking sun. Not another moonosphere, not back to the earth, the sun. Rita's
because they're
dead.
Not incompetent this time. Because
together, they're twice as competent. Now, twice as competent hard asses
with three
wands and a worth-something Goldar
okay.
attack the Rangers.
They're dead.
Oh, by the way, they still have two squats and two baboos, so
ramp
up production, bitches.
Here's where things get crazy sweet interesting. At this point, if you want to make the good guys win, we're going to have to go over and fight the competent Goldar at other monster. Let's say we don't win completely. Our swords are destroyed. So Zed and Rita decide that this is it. They've got it.
You mean Bandora.
Yeah, Bandora. Now that they've won, they barely won, but they won, they come down to Earth personally to finish the job. And as they're destroying the world, the Zoodangers and our Power Rangers, including Tommy, talk to the Sage and Zordon, and by their combined powers, we get Mega Thunder power. Not Thunder, Mega Thunder. Awesome as shit Thunder. And give us an epic, hardcore, badass new Zord that has never been seen in either show.
Oh no.
Have us get full badass Zords of all colors, and this could be exclusive to the show. It's never been seen in any Sentai. I'm not even talking about like the thing that we talked about with the Dragon Zord, just a whole new set of Zords and have an actual final battle with Zed, Bandora, a Megazord, and fucking 11 Rangers.
On top of that, when the Zords are still split up, each one requires two pilots, except for the green one.
You need two reds. You have to have two reds to even make the Zord work. Yeah, so now there's two reds.
And one Zord.
And then Tommy sits there going, so sad.
Tommy gets an upgraded crazy version of the... You know what he gets? He gets that... Yeah, you just did it. He gets...
Serpentera!
Nope. Mega Thunder Dragon Zord is King Ghidorah Zord.
Oh, yeah.
With
oh,
arms.
Yeah, that thing, yeah.
Oh, yeah, because
King
that's kind of what I said.
Zord with arms.
Yeah, he gets King Ghidorah, so he's got three fucking heads. Makes no sense, but he loses his arms.
Gets his arms.
Good.
So he can shoot missile fingers.
Good. King Ghidorah was a very poor choice without arms. Three heads is cool, but you need arms.
So he gets his arms. Now, with all that put together, we get new set of Megazords, King Ghidorah Zord, and because Zordon always had it the whole time and just bothered never to tell anybody, we also get Tor, because he just showed up. Zordon was just like, oh yeah, by the way, Tor.
Zordon, why don't you tell us this stuff before?
Yeah, exactly.
Plot hole.
And Zordon is basically like, don't worry about it.
No, I'm going to worry about
it.
No. Bitch.
Stop worrying.
If I press this button, you disappear. I am in control of you.
So that gives us the new Zords plus Tor.
And then basically.
Plus freaking Brachiosaurus. So
Titanus?
We can make an ultimate Daizujin.
Here we go.
The greatest there ever was.
Ultimate Mega Thunder Daizujin.
What, Shane?
Well, go ahead and do what you usually do now.
What?
You know, ultimate, you know.
What about it?
Your thing you do.
What do I do, Shane?
Well, if anybody listens to the last episode, they'll know.
I don't remember saying anything about Daizujin in the last
when
episode.
We did the Daizujin, when we did the episode.
Technically, the last episode we did was the 20 fucking robots.
Yeah, I was going to say,
you're talking
I'm
like
confused.
Three or four episodes back, guy.
The
what
episodes
exactly?
That are actually... The, when we did the Zoo Rangers, or the Mighty Morphin, or the Zoo Rangers...
Yeah?
You said a lot about ultimate stuff, you know.
So I spoke about ultimate things.
Yes.
Like what?
I'm not going to repeat it.
No?
Do it! I wasn't here!
I tried to explain to Shane...
Oh boy, here we go.
...that the ultimate Daizujin is like the best Daizujin.
Well, yeah, it's the ultimate.
Yeah, so he's like the best one.
Well, there's only one possibly that could be.
You need to move the fuck into the mic since you and Bill are sharing mics.
Like, say there were a bunch of Daizujins, but this one was ultimate...
Well,
he would be the best Daisuke.
Well, no, there's only one that could possibly be more badass than the Ultimate One, and that's the Omega One.
Which is what we would get in this episode.
So it would be the Omega Daisuke.
Omega Daisuke.
Daisuke. God, I can't talk tonight.
Yeah, we know.
It would be like a giant, crazy, wicked, badass Zord, and in the middle where they have like the symbol,
right?
Dolph Lundgren is on the chest.
Yes. Hold on, let me. I'll do this for Scott. There you go.
No, I think we just got our ninth.
You need to do it 100 times more.
Well, I'm not doing it 100 times more because I will break my $50 to $60 microphone that I bought with my own damn money. I know I have a backup microphone that I bought with my own money that doesn't have.
I like
a cord.
That. I like the idea of Dolph Lundgren.
But I'm not breaking
that's our
my
show.
Microphone.
That's the show.
Because
basically, you can figure out the rest and how it ends. Typical Power Rangers. Good
face
guys
palming.
Always win. Blah blah blah.
Pretty sweet. So what you got, Scott? We got
Scott has your Scott crossover? Has table
the
face.
Dolph fucked my mind up.
I would cross the Dolph over with the Rangers, but there'd be no purpose to even having the Rangers in the show.
Okay, so I do have two in mind, but I'm just going to go with one right now. But you kind of brought this up before we started recording.
Yeah.
Thundercats.
Now, this might work. As ridiculous as it sounds, like like when you just say it, you know, right off, you're like, oh, Thundercats. And then you're like, yeah. But Thundercats are super strong. They're super fast, right? They have more durability than men, don't they?
They're gigantic cats, so yes.
Right. And I'm not mistaken, he's lost, but hasn't Lion-O, like, had team-ups with He-Man? Now, He-Man's strong enough to push the moon out of orbit, so yeah, that's not a fair fight, but...
And he can magically fuse two chains together.
But regardless... The Lion-O's no joke.
No.
And the Power Rangers are about strong enough to throw station wagons. So these people kind of work in the crossover. And they're both teams. And I think they're also multicolored warriors. Doesn't each cat have a different color?
Kinda.
Well, Chitara's yellow because he's a cheetah.
Panthro is bluish.
You've got Tigra that's orange.
Yeah,
Lion-O. Lion-O is a different one. He's like a...
Now, we're talking about original Thundercats, not the Cartoon
yes,
Network.
Yes, original,
WB
but original 80s
every Thundercat got
it's
their
the,
own weapon,
Cartoon
didn't
Network.
They?
Lion-O got the Sword of Omen.
American anime.
Panthro had nunchucks.
Yes.
Yeah.
Tigra had a whip that he could make himself disappear. Chitara had a bow staff.
Okay, so see, they have power weapons. They're all super powered. The crossover does work. It's just an idea of, like, now, who's playing the bad guy here?
Mama. Oh, no. We're going to have two bad guys.
Okay.
But anyway, the idea I had was to have the Mighty Morphin or Zoo Ranger. You could go either or. But somehow, Pandora or Rita, once again, either or, getting tired of getting beaten by these Rangers and wanting to maybe have to try to outsource to get some help. Try. But meanwhile...
Outsourcing to the guy who rents out bosses for Final Fantasy?
Sure, why not? But meanwhile, on Third Earth, Mumra is getting tired of getting beat by the Thundercats over and
now,
over.
Now, where did their show take place? I was not a Thundercats dude myself.
It's an Earth planet called Third Earth.
But it's not Earth?
No.
Okay, now, what makes this a good thing is that you don't even have to cross dimensions. She could just simply contact him.
Here's what's going to be weird. Mumra asks the ancient spirits of evil for advice on somebody to help him. Pandora / Rita appears in his pool. Rita, Pandora, seeks somebody to help her. She sees Mumra looking into the pool.
Which is, okay, so now that gives them a reason to meet.
So they somehow open up a portal.
Now, here's the thing. If you're talking about space and crossing area and things like that, you're probably better in the Mighty Morphin universe. Because, like, the Zoodanger Sage, I never saw him send anybody through space or anything like
they're
that.
They're very
but Zordon,
mystical.
Yeah, they're mystical, where Zordon can just do shit.
They're technical,
obviously. So he'd just be like, oh, shit,
But it could be a little bit different for the different versions.
But
like
all
the
he
Sea
has
Ranger
to, but
stuff.
Yeah, but what Zordon? One thing that we did right with Zordon is because there's no real explanation about him, he could just do shit. So the second Mumra's power even emerges on the Moonosphere, he could be like, "Oh no, Alpha, so and so, because I know shit for no reason."
Actually, be more like. Alpha, there's some distortion going on by Rita's palace.
No, he would just know that it's Mumra. He would just know, because he's Zordon. Years ago, Zordon just knew shit. He just, like when Zed and everybody show up, every time somebody shows up, he's just like, "Oh, that's the Machine Empire. They're... Now, how come we didn't know about this shit 5 years ago?
There was no need to tell you.
Exactly. I didn't need to tell you until the storyline said I needed to. So he just knows about Mumra, and he just knows we're going to need help, and he just knows that Thundercats are on this other planet. He's going to get them over here for us.
That's not where I was going.
Okay, so where are you going?
Because let's assume Zordon don't know what's on the other side of this portal thing.
Man, you're asking me to assume an awful lot.
But Zordon detects a disturbance, calls the Rangers, tell them that they need to, since Rita is somehow going through the portal, either with or without her cronies, so he wants the Rangers to follow her for some odd reason. So the Rangers somehow...
You don't need odd reason. The reasoning is... Because. And don't view that plot hole. By the way, here's 20 cheese sandwiches just in case.
But they teleport through the portal and land animated cartoon Rangers on the Thundercats show for some odd reason.
Okay.
But, yeah, Rita...
Well, or we could just do comic book universe so you don't have to worry about weirdness.
Yeah, if you did the entire thing comic book, you wouldn't have to worry about your artwork changing
okay.
in the middle of the thing.
Comic book. Rita shows up on Third Earth.
Because they've been comic books also, if I'm not mistaken. There was an 80s comic book that ran for Thundercats.
Yeah, there was.
I think it ran at the same time as the He-Man books.
I think there was like a short... There was.
And I think that, you know what they did? They had a Wicked crossover. Thundercats had a crossover with the Gotcha Force. With the Gotchaman.
Well, Thundercats also had another revised comic series, too, called, I think it kicked off with Return, where Lionel was trapped in a book for years.
Right.
But, yeah. Mumra, Rita, come up with a plan to try and destroy, apparently now, the Thundercats and the Power Rangers, but the Thundercats come across the Power Rangers in, like, a forest. And they're wondering who the hell these people are. And start attacking them.
Yeah.
And then when Lionel tries to attack with the Sword of Omens, it stops.
Yeah, because I was going to say, it won't let him, will it?
Yeah, because it's technically...
It's alive.
It has like a moral sense.
It's alive. Because it's also the life force of his entire race, and the dumbass takes it into battle with him all the time, and if it was to get damaged, it would kill his entire race.
Yeah, but meanwhile, we'll have, let's say, Jason with his power sword in defense mode because Lionel's about to strike down, and it's like, what? And then they somehow start talking, and we see stupid Snarf. Get the fuck out of here, Snarf.
you have me lost on some of that. Like, if you're talking Thundercats, you're more talking to Shane right now.
I know who Snarf is. He's pointless.
Yeah.
Because there was something about the 80s cartoons that did not click.
Snarf
with me.
Is a weird looking cat. That
I was a weird kid, to be fair, though. I grew up watching like Back to the Future and actual movies instead of cartoons.
It's really hard to explain what the fuck Snarf is.
Snarf was a little bit better in the Cartoon Network cartoon.
I didn't start watching cartoons until I was probably like 10, 11.
Damn, that's a late start.
Yeah, it wasn't until like the mid-90s that I even started paying attention to cartoons.
90s is where it was at, though, so to be fair.
So it's not that I hate, it's just that for some reason I did not watch, I was alive, but like, you know what it was? I'll bet you I know exactly what it was. The first, like, 6 years of my life, for the most part, I spent with my mom, and we had, like, incredible basic television, like three channels kind of basic TV. So I think I just missed all of it, to be fair.
I'm so sorry for you.
But it kind of, yeah.
But more or less the henchmen of Mumra and Rhea try and stop the Rangers as they, Rangers and Thundercats, as they decide to descend, make their way to Mumra and Rhea, and ends up sending, getting to a big battle against Mumra, and Rhea somehow gets knocked into the pool and sent back to the Power Rangers verse.
Right.
And then the Rangers kind of think, let's jump in the pool and go back home.
Right, and that sends them back.
Yeah.
Which closes out your arc.
Yeah.
So you've ran, you've ran, you ran.
I've got one of two possibilities that might work decently.
Okay.
Everyone's doing, like, shows and stuff.
Yeah.
Because I'm the jackass of the group. Go with Zeo Rangers, because they're in space. And you can go with...
No, you're talking space.
Oh, in space.
I just remember
space. Zeo Rangers being up in space a few times.
Well, okay, the Zeo Ranger pyramid would fly through space.
Okay, yeah, that makes more sense. So would it be Space Rangers then?
Well, the Zeo Rangers, they fought the Machine Empire, which was in space.
Yeah.
But Power Rangers...
That's where it threw me
Power off. Rangers in space took place in space.
Go with Power Rangers in space. You should have corrected me then, douche.
Because they had the surfboards.
But
they
he has no mind,
yeah.
So he can't.
All right,
so,
and they had a spaceship.
So we got some spacey Rangers, right?
Yes.
They're up in space.
I'm curious if I know... Spaceships. I think I know where he's going. I just have to...
I'm going with the game crossover. It's one of two. Can you take the guess on one of the two?
As soon as you said game, I lost it, because I was hoping for something else.
What were you hoping for?
I was kind of hoping you were about to take a Robotech age.
Against
the Machine Empire.
You know, we could do that
Machine
one.
Empire versing the Robotechs.
Veritech Fighters would be kind of pimp.
Veritech Fighters, because think about it, that was an army
of guys with TIE Fighter-esque things. We're just going
to
throw out my ideas, because I was going to say something along the lines of, like, Power Rangers in space meet up with Samus.
That would have been kind of different, to be fair.
I didn't see that coming. Commander Shepard. Some Mass Effect up in that bitch.
I think I'd go Samus before Shepard. But I didn't see that coming. I really thought when he said space and Machine Empire,
actually,
I was thinking Veritech Fighters.
But you know what? We'll go with that one because I like that one better. So you've got Rick Hunter leading up Skull Squadron on their way back and stuff because Roy Fulker's dead because he's a dumbass.
Because he's a dumbass. And I don't care who likes that anime, he died because he's
like
a dumbass.
Because real men who get shot the fuck up instead of going to seek out medical assistance once you land. No, you got a dinner date with your girlfriend.
I have to apologize.
You got a strum
guitar. I have no idea.
I've never watched
Robotech.
Okay.
So.
The first Robotech, here in America, the first Robotech season is actually Robotech.
Yeah.
So the first season does get pretty good. Now, when you get to this part.
Once you get past Min-Mei.
There's this part where this dude gets hurt bad.
And he's the leader of the best fighter squadron on the Macross ship.
Now, he gets shot, and his ship gets fucked up, and he gets out of the ship, leaving blood all over the ship.
But he's fine.
Now,
he's fine.
If you're bleeding that bad, you go see medical. No. He went home.
No, he went back to his quarters.
Yeah.
Oh, actually, he went back to his girlfriend's quarters,
yeah.
Who was a bridge officer.
It was his girlfriend's quarters, and he sat on her couch and, like,
and played a guitar.
Yeah, he played guitar.
And then he just died.
And he talked to his girlfriend for a while, and then he was like, oh, fuck, I'm dying. And then he just died. And she was like, oh, my God, I can't believe it.
No, actually, what had happened was she went into the kitchen to go get drinks for the both of them. And she came back and he's dead.
Because he's dumb.
So we got smart Rick Hunter, who eventually becomes an admiral, just way later down the line. Rick Hunter is flying, scouting
mission.
They were
color coordinated too, weren't they? Wasn't there a blue squad, a red squad, a yellow squad?
Skull Squad actually had multiple colors in it.
Yeah.
Because Rick flew the Skull leadership after that, which was...
And he was red, wasn't he?
No, it was black.
I thought his uniform was red.
Oh, yeah, his uniform was red.
And then there was... His friend was blue.
The dude
married the alien chick?
That was Max. Max and Miria.
Okay.
And Miria, I think, wore purple.
Yeah, so they were color coordinated.
Yep.
Okay.
But this would be bef- before Miria showed up because they're in space heading all the way home.
All right, yeah.
Because I think Roy died during that point in time. I don't remember. It's been a while since I watched it.
I've watched it through once, so I don't. Not exactly an encyclopedia here.
Regardless, Rick's leading a Skull Squadron out on a reconnaissance mission, making sure there's no traps ahead. Enter Rangers in space. Yes, I had to say it like that. They just think that they might be like new fighters and stuff for the Zentradi. Start doing like epic battle thing, and then suddenly the Rangers are like, oh, this isn't good. There's a lot of those guys, and this is actually kind of fucking our ship up a bit.
Right.
We should do something about this. And so they summon up the Zord, and they're like, what the fuck is that?
Right.
So they eventually actually communicate, and then they can take the Rangers and spaceship onto the, what the hell is it? The SDF 01, I believe, is what it was. Designated.
Yeah, you're talking about a giant, fucking retarded city
in space.
Yeah, it's the
SDF 1.
Yeah.
It's the big ass Macross ship.
Yep.
And then they can just patch up the ship there, do some talking and stuff, be like, hey, yeah, we're trying to get home back to Earth.
And the Rangers are like, we know exactly where that is.
It's like, yeah, we got you covered. We can get you there. It's like, well, we got these assholes who are trying to kill the shit out of us. And so Rangers could help out a little bit with getting them home a little bit safer.
Yep.
So it might save a couple people. Who knows?
It's a pretty basic, easy thing to put them together, and then you don't need Rita or anything at that point. You don't need any. All you need is like, okay.
Well, there's no Rita in the space, is there?
No. But like, what you could do is you could take
Machine Empire during that.
Okay. Here's the thing. There is. Yes, there is. But the Machine Empire had been pushed off Earth, which might explain why the Machine Empire was attacking them.
There's a very short... In the first episode of Space, all the evil people get together...
Hold up, Shane. You're using Scott's mic. Scott's mic is set to pick people up better. So trade with...
I apologize. I was using the wrong mic.
Fuck's sake, guy.
Well, I'm used to using my mic. So.
Yeah, believe me, I know.
So, in the first episode of Space, all the evil people get together. Rita's there with Zed, the Machine Empire, because Diva Tox is the big shit because she destroyed the Turbo Rangers. And so, technically, they all are in it. They're just not in it that long. You could also use that.
But here's the thing. They've been pushed off. Because they've been pushed off Earth.
So they might run into them at some point.
They're just taking out other sectors. Because they're not going to screw with Earth because he got his head knocked off. He's not looking to get his head knocked off again. So he's got to start small and build his empire again. And he comes across the giant Macross crazy ship. And he's like, and for whatever reason, when his squadron came across it, they launched the Veritech fighters under the impression they were under attack by their bad guy, right?
The Zentradi.
So then they're like, well, fuck on that Zentradi. So now the Machine Empire and the Zentradi are both pissed at giant Macross ship.
This is tough for me to picture because I know what the Machine Empire are. So I'm picturing their ships.
Yeah.
And then I'm picturing nothing because I don't know what...
Veritech fighters look like F-16 fighter jets, basically.
Think badass fighter jet with a huge-ass fucking Vulcan cannon attached underneath of it. That then can transform into two different modes. So you got the fighter jet mode, then you've got the Guardian mode, which...
No.
No. Guardian mode, basically, the jet pops out legs and has arms that Vulcan cannon actually pops into the hand of one of the arms and it gets more ground maneuverability.
So the point is...
But it still has the ability to fly at Mach speeds.
The jet can go down to the ground and it can land on its feet and move around, but at the same time it's still a jet, so it can skim across the ground at blinding speeds.
And then it does actually have the robot fighter mode, or robot mode, which turns it into the actual, like, Gundam-looking thing. Actually, best way to put it, think of the GIMs. Or not the GIMs. The GMs.
And the brokest thing...
Just a standard Federation ground unit.
The brokest thing about the whole show is that the giant city-sized ship that they're on, the Macross thing, the
Macross. It's the SDF-1. The
SDF-1 can turn into a giant fucking Megazord.
Yeah. Actually, it does.
And since they're in space...
Oh, and it shoots a giant retarded fucking beam of death.
Since they're in space, they could also meet up with a flying pyramid. Because crossover.
Now, quick question. Nobody can see what I'm obviously staring at. But Bill owns the entire
That is the giant...
The picture of the gigantic robot standing over skyscrapers.
That is what that ship turns into.
Is the pyramid...
The pyramid, I believe, is small compared to that, because that is easily the size of a city.
Holy shit.
In fact, that city that you see when you're watching the show, they're not on Earth.
Okay. Oh, they're on the ship.
They're in that ship. So the city is in the ship.
Okay, so there's a city inside the ship.
Basically, they got stranded in space in a ship that is as big as a city, and they built
a city
inside
of
it. They took parts that they didn't need from the ship and built a city in it.
Well, what happened is they...
Because they got stuck living
they
in
had,
it.
They had used a special thing to actually... Hold on a second. Switch mics. All
right. So, well, because that one picks him up better. Anyways, they used a special experimental drive trying to get it the fuck out of there. I think it was like a jump drive or something like that. Because there was a Zentradi attack on Earth... It's basically a big phase distortion.
Lost in space.
Except in this, it's actually like a barrier field around it, so it actually ripped part of the city. Part of the city was stuck in space.
This is the Makarov.
So they actually pulled all the stuff into
the
space.
The Makarov? That's the whatever. Macross, whatever.
The SDF one.
The big ass city ship. Basically,
it's
a colony that can move.
Yeah, for all intents and purposes.
We're just going to shuffle all the damn mice around today.
And it can become that giant. It can become that Megazord-looking thing.
Okay. But yeah, basically think huge, and I mean motherfucking huge-ass battleship.
You know what it would be? You know what it would be comparable to? That might actually be able to box Serpentera.
Yeah, there you go. Serpentera boxing ship.
Because it was that kind of
Bring it
of
on,
big.
Zed. We got this.
Well, this thing's a lot. I think this thing is still bigger than Serpentera.
Let's just say this. The SDF-1 is like at least 5, if not more, miles long.
Remember, how on Earth can anything from Power Rangers fight that thing?
It
doesn't.
Can't. The only chance would be the Machine Empire sending wave
up
after
with
wave.
Zentradi.
I sent wave after wave of my best men.
Damn it, Zap. Hey, Gif, show them the medal I won.
So they get to pull a Zap Brannigan. So the Machine Empire has to pull a Zap Brannigan to even attempt to win.
Oh, yeah.
But the Machine Empire, what they think they're attacking
the same
is
time,
a giant ship.
The Zentradi attacking at the same time would... Fuck the SDF.
They wouldn't know. They wouldn't even know until the very end. Say the Machine Empire, upon its failure, said, "You know what? That's it. Fucking Gambit card. They make. I'm gonna steal something from DC. War World.
I understand.
Oh,
that.
There you go. Right. Okay. And they're transporting that shit to Earth to blow Earth up. Fuck on Earth." And then they come across this, and they mistake them for fucking,
Space Rangers?
Robotech bad guys.
Oh, the Zentradi?
So they attack thinking it's the Zentradi. Now, fucking Machine Empire's pissed because weird guys came out of nowhere and caused problems.
And now they're going to go kick the shit out of them.
And the Space Rangers are, of course, looking for disturbances. Well, there's fucking a war going on over here. They go over there. They fight with the Veritex. The Veritex, they start communicating. Some stuff goes down. They're like, we're trying to get to Earth. We can help you get there. Oh, but wait, the Machine Empire's on our dicks. And then the Rangers
like, well,
say,
well, shit, we can help you out on that.
They're like, the Machine Empire's not really a problem. We've taken care of them before. And then reveal that the reason that we're going to have to stick around, the Rangers are going to have to stick around and maybe help out, is because there's a giant planet-sized fucking robot thing moving towards Earth. So now we need the SDF-01.
Yeah, that actually, that'd be beautiful, because then the SDF-1 can basically do its ultimate attack.
You made it easier for me when you mentioned Warworld.
The SDF-1 right. has...
Because that's no joke.
No, it's not.
The SDF-1 in its battle form has three badass things going for it. One, it can actually do what's called the point defense barriers. So they actually... All right, you know... When you go to the arcade and you play, like, the golf or the bowling game, they got that little weird ball thing. Well, the basic version of the point defense system, that they could just use at any time with no problems and actually block any shot no matter what the fuck it is, they have people with those big, it's like, giant little, the little ball things, trackballing the fuck out of these little barriers around the ship to block attacks. And these people are just like, oh, shit, nope, over there, no, nope, we're going here.
Well, I don't want that job.
Nope.
Yeah, that job sucks.
They can overcharge it, but it's a very limited time, and if it goes overload, it will wipe out everything in a 10-plus mile radius. That's actually how Rick lost one of his squad members on Earth, and they actually were told not to come near any cities with the SDF-1 after that. Because it wiped out an entire city.
Holy shit.
So that's one. They have giant ass particle cannon.
I don't think
you
ever made
that
it
right there.
You
Shane?
Never made it past episode 10, so you didn't get to see anything.
Yeah, this
can
is,
I be honest?
You
with
just
you?
Had to push past Minmate. Trust
I never
me.
Made
three episodes in.
I only watched two.
Two? Oh, it's close.
You just had to push past the Minmate.
I get it. Look, that's. I will say one thing about Robotech. It starts
really bad,
slow, and it's bad. It takes probably for the first 10 episodes to even
Listen,
get started.
When I watch an anime or anything like that, if the first two episodes literally put me to sleep,
I understand.
I can't watch it then.
I had to try
were,
it.
Were you happy that you actually pushed through?
Here's the thing. When I watched it, I did the same thing you did. I got to a dumb episode where they're like in the ship and they need to catch a big fish so that they can eat and... Something about Minmay and gonna have a fake wedding and drink space water and...
Yeah, it was dumb.
And then it's just dumb, and it drug on and on and on, and then he was like, I'm not really, I don't want to be a pilot, and I wanted this, and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, okay, whatever. It took till about the, probably around the 7th or 8th episode for something to finally happen. And the only reason I made it is because... I was just letting the anime play while I did other things. So I was like, no. I have this big fucking giant blue box. I refuse to let it sit on the shelf and never watch it. It's at least going to play in the background while I do other shit. So I was cleaning, I think. And finally something happened. And I like sat down and I watched it. And then the episode slowly became more tolerable from that point. Until it became a series that was worth watching. But it starts
really bad.
Slow. It has a horrible start. But that was a decent little crossover we just ran there.
I'd watch it. I mean, definitely watch it. City-sized robots, Warworld. I know it's not Warworld.
I actually need to finish this up so that way you can understand why that giant robot that the Machine Empire create, or Serpentera, would be getting bitched. So they got the point defense system, right? That if they need to, they can overcharge and blow up everything in 10 miles.
I'm sorry.
These things right here.
Yeah, those big blue things.
Giant particle cannon.
Oh, shit.
They flip forward and shoot big-ass beam of go fuck yourself.
I'm sorry. I know we tried to put Serpentera against this thing. And I know
Serpentera just got shot in the face and it's dead.
I know our audience can't see what we're looking at. If anybody knows the blue
Robotech... All he'll have to do is find... Yeah.
Yeah.
At one point, Scott will probably just post that during this whole part of this conversation, he'll just be like, click and put one SDF-1 picture up, and that'll...
Well, no, you have to do, like, a couple.
And that'll be, you know, whatever.
Well, no, at least do two at some point. Like, show the carrier form, like, when it's actually more like a boat, and then you could switch it over to the giant robot.
I think that if they
form.
Brought down Serpentera and, like, look at our big robot, Serpentera goes up to that thing's kneecap. So that thing's like...
Also, you see the arm sections? What they do usually, anytime they fight Zentradi battle or like warships, they'll put the point defense system at the front of those and just punch into the ship, disable the point barrier defense, pop open the hatches, and then they have a bunch of the like turret guys. Basically, think a shit ton of gun tanks from Gundam. Some of them with huge amounts of rocket launchers attached to them instead of the big-ass guns. Just unleash hell and blow up the fuck out of the inside of the ship.
And I thought White Base was impressive. This thing
is broke
like
a as a joke.
Okay.
When it can run.
Well.
Because it gets dogged pretty hard by the Zentradi.
That's a good crossover, and I definitely would watch that. So now we're up to you, Bill, the last one.
Bring us home, bro. Because I'm pretty sure you can top this.
All right, look. I was sitting here thinking about this for a little while.
I got it. Power Rangers and Batman.
Oh, that'd be awful. It really would.
Batman would literally just walk up and just grab one of their coins off of them while they're transformed. They'd be like, what the fuck? He's like, I'm Batman. Here you go.
He could do that.
And then he would just be like, give me an hour or two. I'll be back. And then he'd come back, and he'd be like, it's morphin' time. Bat Ranger.
Oh, my God. That would be amazing.
There's one crossover I can't make work in my mind. I've been fighting with myself for, like, literally this entire thing, and I can't find a way to make it happen.
What's that?
We can help. Maybe.
It makes no sense, but I want it. I want the Rangers to find themselves in the 1960s Star Trek show because...
Rangers in space.
It makes no sense and it doesn't work, but the only reason...
Oh, Time Rangers!
The only reason it hits me is because in Star Trek in the comic books has crossed over with Doctor Who, has crossed over with Ghostbusters, has crossed over with Ninja Turtles, has crossed over with X-Men. And by the way, when they crossed over with X-Men, that worked really well. You wouldn't think that it would. You almost laugh at it.
No, I laugh because I have the second book. I don't have the first comic book.
Maybe this is just me, but...
Second book. Okay, I'm trying to figure out where you were then.
There was a sequel that was made into a book, but the first one was a comic.
Second book. Okay, the first one... See, because I have both the comics, so I'm trying to figure out what the book is, because I don't think I even know about the book.
The second book was based on the X-Men coming into Next Gen.
I have that, yeah.
Yeah.
I have that, because Data fought Colossus.
Data won, right?
Because
Data won the shit out of that.
Colossus, like, punches at him, and Data looks over, and he's like, ka-ching! And he catches
his hand. Wait a minute. Does that mean we have Wolverine versus Worf?
No.
Figure out who gets bitched the most?
No. No, Worf. But believe it or not, in the original first book, Wolverine flies off the handle.
Does Spock neck pinch him?
I'm trying to remember. Is it the Vashanti Empire? The Vashanti?
I think so, yes.
The Vashanti Empire.
Is that the one with the gems?
Yes.
That's the Shi'ar.
Shi'ar. That's what I'm looking at. The Shi'ar. The Shi'ar Empire, there's something going on.
When it comes to Marvel, I remember some of these things.
It's like blah, 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 portal, they find themselves in a cargo hold. And the X-Men are in a cargo hold, and they're like, where the fuck are we? And all of a sudden, like, while they're in the cargo hold, Beast goes in, and he screws with this panel. And when he does that, it gives a warning to Chekhov, and he tells Kirk and everybody. And they Spock and a couple people go down into the cargo holds, and Wolverine thinks that they've been abducted. So he gets all super pissy, and he starts talking and screaming and everything, and Spock is trying to talk calmly, so he pops his claws and he goes at Spock, and he's like, you're about to have a bad day, and Spock is like, I believe you require some rest, and he like dodges the first hit and pinches... Wolverine's neck and takes him right down. Don't matter if I can't break your bones. Fucking broke ass nerve pinch.
By the way, that would mean that just means that Wolverine just got Worfed.
Now I can't make that. I can't
before
make that
Worf
happen.
Was even thought of.
I can't make it happen in a way that I like in my mind. But what I would like to see is one of the original X-Men teams falling into the
Power Rangers universe. What I mean by original is I'd like to have it a fundamental, like, I have to have Cyclops there because he's the most known leader. I have to have Wolverine because...
Wolverine.
I'm thinking I would like to have Beast to coincide with some storylines.
Do you want the
villain.
Humanoid Beast, though?
No, I want him to be a monstrous blue thing that can coincide with Billy.
That would be pretty Beast.
So what about the 90s cartoon?
No pun intended.
You could go with the 90s cartoon one, just,
I was just
make
about
sure
that,
to
say that
Wolverine's not
in
a bitch.
In a way, I'm okay with that, but I want Iceman on the team.
So first class?
No.
Except that Wolverine wasn't part of the
first class. If you're talking about the actual first class with plus Wolverine, then yes, I would go with that team. If you're talking about first class movies, no.
No, because the movies were completely wrong.
Hardcore wrong.
So why don't you just do first class plus Wolverine?
First class plus Wolverine, I would do that.
Okay, just do that then.
Because that gives me Marvel Girl. She's not too broken yet.
It gives you Angel.
I get Angel.
You get the Iceman.
You get
cometh.
Jean Grey. Yep. So you can rock some Jean Grey, give her something to do.
She could play with people's minds.
Beast would be really interesting to interact with Billy.
That's one of the ones that have been keep crossing
Jason
my mind.
Jason and Cyclops, they can, you know, Jason can teach him how to be a real leader.
Jason would get decimated by Cyclops.
No,
here's the only
that
thing.
Cyclops was a good leader.
I'm having troubles throwing around things in my mind because what I want to happen, if the X-Men met up with the Power Rangers, and I don't care, if I'm writing the books and I write them as the powers actually make sense, if the Rangers come down and do funny poses, I'm going to take my fucking glasses off. This fight is done.
Because he just laser bromped them into the sun.
And it doesn't matter how strong or broken they are. I have an infinite stream of powerful destroy you that never stops.
That is basically intense solar flare from my eyeballs.
So you're like, we're Rangers! And I'm like, bromp.
Dead.
You guys ready to fucking talk with me now? Because I didn't come here to fight you guys.
So I could do this all day.
Zordon, need help.
Zordon, this guy's broken. Tell him to stop.
Because God holds that you don't look at.
Say, no, stop. That works for me.
Zordon, I just did it. I still got Bromp.
He Bromped me twice as hard.
That's my problem. I'm having trouble finding crossover. I like the episode that we put down. I don't really need to have a choice here. I was happy to just be a part of the conversation.
Well,
but
I was going to say, though, if you really wanted to try out, like, the Star Trek versus, like, or Power Rangers crossover, do, like, the Borg.
Oh.
Like, somehow the Borg takes over Rita or some shit. Or yeah, like the Machine Empire.
If the Machine Empire was actually assimilated?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, go something like that. Deal with the Borg.
That would be pretty sweet.
That's a good one, actually. Because nobody likes the Machine Empire.
Okay, now that's
that
would
give
you Borg.
Okay, I would have to negate the 60s guys. And I'd have to go Next Generation to make that storyline work. But that's not necessarily a negative. Next Generation had a pretty good crew.
As a technicality, you could use the original series.
But I wouldn't mind Riker crossing over. Because Riker, to me, okay, yes, the Sage role would be taken over by Picard, and Riker would take over the more combat-oriented, aligned with Jason type of atmosphere.
When you look at Next Generation,
Billy and Data and Geordi would hang out.
Oh, God, yeah. Oh, and Wesley.
Wesley, too, would be interested.
He'd be like, fuck yeah, new guy?
I can see Trini and Kimberly hanging out with Deanna and Beverly.
I could probably do that because they studied. It looks ridiculous later on in the series. It actually starts to work, but they studied a form of Klingon martial arts. Both Beverly and Diana.
We can throw Zach with Worf. Maybe he can lighten Worf up.
Yes,
with some dancing.
Oh my god!
Teach Worf to do some jigging.
Data would be interesting to hang out with. Data can learn to dance.
Data already knows how to dance.
Yeah,
but
not...
Data can learn to capoeira.
I need Worf to be
Data
relevant.
Alpha.
Well, Worf. Could...
No, Alpha's
okay.
not here.
Worf has a dumb sash, and Tommy has a cool sash.
There you go.
And Tommy is the best fighter, on the team, and Worf and thinks he, but Riker really. Take Data out because it's not fair. He's an android. Riker's the best fighter on the ship.
Riker is
it sure as hell isn't Picard. Picard does have a captain punch, but he is a diplomatic son of a bitch.
Yes, but Riker...
Riker will beat that ass.
I seen Borgs knock out fucking Worf with a push.
A push,
and,
I know.
And then Riker,
and
then
Riker comes up and just Falcon punches
and
the
Riker
piss
will,
out of him.
Riker will get pushed and immediately get back up like, I ain't him.
It's like, dude, do I episode, look like I'm a yellow shirt?
The episode where Picard got abducted.
Yes.
Worf jumps over the side rail, walks up, and the Borg is like, fuck out of here, and just pushes him down, and he never got back up.
Yep. Not until after they left.
He just falls down. Ugh! And
he got
Riker,
shoved the fuck down.
Riker jumped over the side rail, got backhanded, got back up, and got backhanded again, and was like, fuck, this isn't working for me. Worf was just like, nope, they got me over here. They got me good.
Hey, Worf, did you just get pushed? No, he really punched me.
No, he really got me.
No.
No, he pushed you. Pushed.
Bitch, this is the 23rd century. I will play back the fucking footage.
He literally got pushed down, and he was defeated.
I'm telling you, Worf is a joke, and that's why...
Tommy can make him better.
Yes, Tommy will teach him how to fight.
Maybe they could trade off, like, this is just things that could happen. I don't have an actual storyline for this, but there are certain dynamics that would work. It would be nice to see Tommy exchange martial arts, teach Worf something, and Worf, even if it's not too practical, Worf could teach Klingon martial arts to Tommy, and Tommy could learn to perfect them later.
And
Tommy,
there could be an awesome scene where Tommy, after the ship gets invaded by the Borg, could grab one of those batliths.
I was actually going to ask, would the transformation into the Ranger mode protect them from getting assimilated?
Here's another question.
Because
that,
one of
Star
them
Trek
could have gotten...
Star Trek doesn't play the Zordon card. As soon as they morph, Star Trek is going to be like, what was that? Why was that? How was that? Explain
like,
that. And the Rangers would be like,
magical coin.
Zordon lets us do that. And they're like, no, bullshit. And they just be like, it seems that we have scans from their initial transformation that tell us this information right here. They're tapping into this kind of neutronic energy. This is the field they're pulling from.
And then the whole time,
oh, God.
The whole time they're explaining.
Riker could eventually Data, Geordi, Billy and fucking Wesley would come up with, like, power coins for the crew.
They could find a way to recreate the coins because Star Trek doesn't
guess
do
what?
That. Don't view that
and,
plot
and guess
hole
what?
Shit.
And guess what? The entire
Federation
time,
just became broke
the entire
as shit.
Time, they're explaining to the Rangers how their morphing works. You can hear, you can just hear in the background, Zordon's like, no, tell them no, don't explain it. Don't view that.
Shit.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. People are like, oh, shit, that's how these work?
Exactly.
I'm interdimensional.
Yeah, because that's what's interesting about the whole thing is Star Trek would look at it, and they'd be like, you know, I believe we could replicate the morph technology.
Oh, shit. They don't even have to do that. They'd be like, hey, wait, that lets you do cool things? Power down real quick. Computer, analyze and save program. Just...
Data would have a field day trying to figure out the morphing grid.
All right, so everyone now has dragon power coins.
The 1960s guys, which has now been reinverted to the new 2011 guys, but you get the idea. It was 2009 regardless.
The Kelvin universe.
The Kelvin universe met up with the Green Lanterns, and rather than just accept the rings at face value, Star Trek doesn't do that. They analyzed them and made... They said whatever the fuck is in this, it is light years upon light years upon light years ahead of any technology that we can even conceive of. However, I could replicate the effect, and they made rings for the normal crew.
And how?
And equipped the entire ship with rings.
And Hal was like, how'd you guys do that? Like, bitch, this is the future.
Science, motherfucker.
Because instead of just... accepting shit, we want to know why.
That's the whole reason why we're out here.
But yeah, think about that, though. How cool would it be to just be like,
so
Borg
maybe...
pop in to take Picard, and Picard's like, nah, we ain't about that life. Morphin' time.
Captain Power.
Now, I'm not saying it would be perfect, but they could basically design, like Data could come up with something where he says,
or just
we
personalized
cannot,
force fields.
For some reason, we cannot actually make what they have. But I can design a device that taps into the same power stream that they do, which would give our uniforms some of the same properties.
Which would protect them.
We would get reconstructive shieldings.
Dude.
And reflective auras so that when we get hit, we spark and flip.
I was just about to say, Romulans invade the ship and try to shoot Picard. Sparks fly, he hits the ground, stands up. He's got a little smoldering black spot on his uniform, camera changes, and suddenly he's fine.
Yeah.
So does that mean I just double won this episode?
Sure. No, I think that's it. I think that's this episode, though.
That was awesome.
I got one thing I want to throw out.
What?
I have no plot or anything like that, but it's a crossover I'd like to see just for the hell of it. Mighty Morphin Megazord, original Voltron.
You know, I thought that, but I couldn't. The only thing I could think of is them fighting each other.
Yeah, it's like at first fighting and then teaming somehow. So.
Well, to be fair, I think Voltron had a lot to do with, or Sentai had a lot to do with Voltron.
They were.
Or
they both
were influencing each other.
They were very close to being the same thing, yes.
And that's why I'd like to see them.
There would be no
get that, too. I have no plot, nor would I attempt one.
They'd just
be
fighting.
I think the only way you could make that work is with the new... Like, aside from
screw
it being...
Screw attacks,
they
death
fight,
battle.
Yeah, death battle.
We analyze their weapons, skills, and everything else to see who would win in a death battle.
The new Voltron has very strong storylines. I'll bet you could get away with it. Because the new Voltron is... awesomely constructed. It's a damn good show.
I still haven't watched the new one yet.
And they don't just call Voltron. Like, there's actually build-up and episodes and learning and storyline process that leads to Voltron, not just, uh-oh, there's a monster! Form Voltron! They don't do that. It's not the same game. But yeah, I think this episode's done. If we could think of more of these, we might do a part two of this later on, because I'll bet you there's a million crossovers.
Even some of the people doing the comments could actually come up with some, too.
Because the other thing I had in mind that I couldn't really think of how to make it work was there's no way I could make the Green Lanterns weak enough, because there's the Rangers, there's no way. Green Lanterns can literally... A Green Lantern, Kyle Rayner, under the power of Ion, can terraform a planet.
What if you happen to hit him with the parallax power and fuck him up?
The Rangers?
No. The Lanterns. Make them weak to yellow again.
Well, that would be... That's another problem. That's another problem. When a Green Lantern comes in contact with the parallax entity now, his powers go berserk. So he would end up being the bad guy of the show, and the Rangers are doomed.
Even if they're the, what was it, the Gokaiger Rangers, the Pirate Rangers?
Yeah.
Even if it was them,
chance.
They could summon every Zord ever, and then some new ones that don't exist yet,
just
and they would get
you,
destroyed.
Just to give you the slightest bit of understanding as to how broken a Green Lantern can really be. In the DC Universe, the Angels... invaded the DC Universe in JLA back in 94.
Angels.
The Angels are part of the gods of the DC Universe. They are incredibly powerful. One Green Lantern, not multiple, one, stood in New York City, held his ring up to the sky, and out of his imagination created an entire legion army of demons that fought them back to the portals. That's like 78 million monsters and dragons
Damn.
And demons. And then five Rangers show up, and they're like, we'll do stuff. And he's like, gigantic hand, slap.
Defeated.
And they'll be like, what the shit was that? And then if they're dumb enough to get up, he'll be like, fire-breathing dragon. Burn.
No, at that point, he's just like, you know what? Just fly swatter.
Yeah, he could literally do dumb shit like that. Like, one of the craziest things I ever seen was there was this dude who was yellow, who was like, he painted his armor all yellow. This was back when they couldn't handle yellow. And he didn't really think this through. He was like, ah, I'm invincible. And he punched Hal Jordan in the face a couple of times. So Hal Jordan got pissed, so he created this spring device, jumped himself back, and then made a giant shovel and scooped the earth underneath this guy and just lifted an entire, like, the size of my apartment of earth and just tipped it, boom, and smashed the dude.
He just
threw it behind him, and the dude was like, oh, shit.
I didn't think that through.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I think we could do a lot more with this, but we really got to end this episode.